If you haven't been able to be with us the last couple of weeks, we've been doing a series called Reconstruction. And the reason being, we're dealing with a lot of people that have deconstructed their faith. And what do I mean by that? There's a group of people that grew up in church. and they come to this age and they're like, I want to know what I believe and why I believe, and that's good. And they start tearing apart these things that they've been taught and they believe, or what they thought they were taught, and that's a good thing. You should be examining what you believe. But the sad part is a bunch of them, many have deconstructed their faith, and they haven't been able to put it together again. So I thought, hot dog, we're going to do a series about reconstructing it. And you know, some of these that have deconstructed their faith, some of them have been in churches that they got hurt. Oh, they got offended. Okay, if you were here last week, I guaranteed it's going to happen, right? And, you know, some of them lost their faith and they just don't understand. So, again, maybe that's not you. Maybe you've never deconstructed your faith and it left it all over the backyard and you've been able to put it together again. But I really believe today what I'm going to share is something that's going to give you understanding in what you believe. So, basically, I'm saying your roots will go deep and wide. So, I ask you to open your heart. So, everybody put your hand on your heart right now. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, your word is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And we ask that your word would pierce our heart. We open up our minds and our understanding, that this would become deep and real in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me tell you a story. A couple weeks ago, it might be a month ago, I was at this business, and it's a place that I go. I've been there quite a few times, and the front person, y'all know the front person in a business? Well, she is just delightful. Oh my gosh. And so I've been going there for a while, and we were just chit-chatting again, how you doing, what's new? And she kind of cocked her head, and she said, hey, what do you do? And I thought, oh, here we go. You know, so when they ask that to you, they want to know, what do you do for your business? So I said, well, you know, not that's my business, but anyway, I said, I'm a pastor. And she blurted out, she said, you know, I don't go to church. I'm a good person. I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person. And I looked at her and I said, well, you know, I can tell. Because listen, when you hit, she's the front person, and I've watched her, she makes everybody feel like they're worth $1 million. She always has a smile. One day I was in there, this real crabby person was just giving her the yeah, and she's just like, yeah. So I said, really sincerely, I can tell you're a good person. And then the next sentence is, but that is not enough. It is not enough to be a good person. You can't get to heaven because you were a good person. And by the way, you can't get to heaven because you're a member of a church. And you can't get to heaven because you attend church, though I like all of those things because I'm Pastor D, all right? So, but I said, you have to come to the place where you accept Jesus, that you see he is the Son of God and he died for your sins. That is how you get to heaven. And I'm looking at her and I'm thinking, she ain't buying my story. It's just not happened. And that's okay, all right? That's okay. So I said to her, hey, listen, I want to give you a new prayer. Would you pray this prayer? Would you pray this prayer? And just say, God, if Jesus is real, would you show me, would you open my eyes to Jesus? And I said, just that, real simple. And I said, would you say that? And would you pray that prayer? And she said, oh, okay. And I said, just, you know, it's real simple. Just say that often. Okay, and let me tell you guys, I have been praying for her like crazy, and I can't wait till I go back the next time. But here's the thing. Only God can open our eyes. Now, I don't mean these eyeballs, but spiritually see who Jesus is. Only God can open our eyes to see who Jesus is. And here's what I've noticed. There's a bunch of people who don't know or understand, let me say that, who don't understand who Jesus is, and they're sitting in churches. Yeah, there's a bunch of people who don't understand who Jesus is. So I'm going to read you some statistics. Put your seatbelts on, all right? And these have to do with some thoughts about different churches, or I'm going to say offshoots of Christianity, all right? Okay? Now, please, when I talk about this, it's because I don't like them. It's not that, oh, I don't like, you know, because they go to a different church, okay? It's nothing. I'm not against any of these people. But I'm just going to share with you what their headquarters believes. What headquarters believes. Because the really interesting thing is there's a bunch of people that are sitting in these churches and they don't even know what headquarters believes. They just go there, and some of them actually have received Jesus in the midst of this. So hang on, here we go. So the first one, all right, I'm going to read are the Mormons, okay? This is what headquarters believes, okay? I did a little research on this. Thank you, Grandma, for all your books. That's where I got them for it. If you knew Ruth, she had a library anyway. And I think she stole the book from Jack, so that's why it's at my house. But anyway, here we go. Mormons believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but, okay, now this is it, but he was created, right? He didn't always exist. They believe that Satan and Jesus were brothers. Right? Okay, no facial. Okay, be nice, Dee. Created at the same time. They also believe that this salvation through Jesus isn't enough. So if you Google, not right now, put your phones, don't do you dare, Google Mormonism, you're going to see what headquarters believes. That's what they believe. And listen, that is 100% what? Contrary to what we believe. Amen? Right? So here's my next one, Jehovah's Witnesses, all right? Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus was a created being, wink, wink, and a lesser than God, the Father, who they call Jehovah. They believe Jesus was born on the earth and was a mere human, not God in the flesh. Okay, so again, that is 100% contrary to what your Bible says. It is. And that is why we need to reconstruct Jesus so we understand what the Bible says and not maybe headquarters, all righty? So here's the last one I want to read. Muslims. Muslims believe that Jesus was one of the five elite prophets, okay, and nothing more. So guys, you know Jesus walked in the office of a prophet. But how many of you know he was much, much more, right? All right, so those are some offshoots of Christianity, and you need to understand who Jesus is. So here's my next one. I did a little Googling here. What do Americans believe as a whole? Raise your hand, you're American. Okay, what do they believe as a whole? Here we go. 52% of Americans believe Jesus was just a great teacher, but not God. I'm like, wow, all right. I thought it would be higher, all right? This next one, 36 of Americans believe Jesus was God. Well, at least 36 got it right, okay? Now, 52, so you know, when I see those statistics, we have a big mission field, y'all. You don't have to leave the borders of the United States when you read those statistics, right, okay? So the thing is, those 52% don't believe that Jesus is God. So if you don't believe that Jesus is God, you can't go to heaven, you know? And you have to accept him and believe that he is God, all righty? Now, here's the other part. So 12% didn't even give an answer. They're like, I don't know. So 64% of Americans believe that don't even know who Jesus is, or they just don't know. Alrighty, so that is why we're here today. We're going to reconstruct Jesus, so you're not going to be one of these, I don't know, all right? I know none of you are. All right, here's my last one. I want to talk about evangelical Christians, okay? But you need to know what an evangelical Christian is first, okay? An evangelical Christian goes to an evangelical church. And in an evangelical church, the pastor teaches, ready? Jesus is God, he always existed, and he's the only way to heaven, all right? So that would be a good church, right? By the way, we're an evangelical church, right? All right? So they all should know who Jesus is, right? Jesus is God, he always existed, and he's the only way to heaven, so they should all know. But listen to these statistics, okay? Now, I think there's some reasons why these statistics, which I'll read in a minute, okay? One is most people go online or they're here, and the average for a year, it's the statistics, is they come once a month. So if you come once a month, you're missing a whole lot of good teaching, right? You might have missed the good stuff because you only came once a month, okay? And then there's a whole bunch of evangelical people that they are just, you know, the world, okay? It's just programming them, reprogramming them. And the world does a good job of that, okay? But they're believing what the world is programming, okay? So I was kind of shocked at the statistics here. But let me say this, but if you are an evangelical Christian, this is what we say, ready? Jesus is God, he always existed, he came from heaven, came to earth, he was in heaven, he came to earth, and he died for us so that we could go to heaven, and then they give altar calls. So that's evangelical churches, okay? Now listen to the statistics, ready? This is evangelicals. 30% of evangelical Christians believe that Jesus was merely a great teacher. Okay, I didn't do the stats, okay? And I can tell you where I got it from later. Okay, and then listen to this one. So when I read that, I'm like, ooh, we're not doing a good job. What? They don't believe? Oh, my. Okay, 63% of evangelicals believe Jesus was the Son of God and he existed before he was born. So I was like, yay, we got that right. But if you look at 7%, because if you want to get the full 100%, they don't know nothing. They're just like, I don't know. So guys, 37% of evangelicals believe he's just a good teacher, or they're like, I don't know, I really don't know, all right? So it is really important that we know who we believe. We know who Jesus is, all right? Now, here's the crazy thing. Back in Jesus' day, he asked that very same question. So open up your Bibles, would you, to Matthew 16, verse 13. Jesus is asking this exact same question, Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say, oh, John the Baptist. Others say, Elijah. Still others say, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So even back then, they're like, oh, you know, Jesus, you know, you're just a prophet or Jesus is a teacher. And Jesus is saying, really? I've been here for 3 years, and that's what they have to say about me? Same thing, same statistics. Okay, but listen to verse 15. Listen to this. Then Jesus says, but what do you say? He's talking to his disciples. What do you say? Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Well, listen, guys, that is a loaded statement. It's saying, hey, listen, you are God. You always existed. You weren't created. You are the creator. You came as a human, okay? You came from heaven and you died for us. That's what he's saying, all right? Now, I love Peter's personality. And, you know, he kind of gets his foot in his mouth and he gets things wrong. But this time, he nailed it. Listen, he nailed it, and he got it right, and the other 11 didn't, and here's why. Listen to verse 17. Ready? Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, not by human beings, not by somebody's podcast, but by my Father who is in heaven. Wow. Praise God. So why did I tell you the story about my front person, that girl at the front desk? Because unless God opens their eyes, okay, they're not going to see Jesus, okay? So that's why I said, hey, pray this prayer. God, if Jesus is real, open my eyes that I see him. And guys, I asked that question when I was 20 years old, the same prayer. God, if you're real, I need to know. Open my eyes. And some of you were born here. Like, I think you birthed down in the nursery and the preschool and the children's ministry and, you know, okay? And if I were to add, you know, you grew up in church and you probably would all say, you know, I've always believed, Pastor D. You know, I know, okay? But, you know, the thing is, there has to come a moment where you say, I know and I believe. I know and I believe, all right? And only God can open your eyes to see who Jesus is, okay? And God did that for Peter. Peter finally got one right, and the rest of them didn't, okay? So today, we're going to come at it from all different angles. We're going to talk about who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? And here's my main idea. Write it down, post-it note, type it in your whatever gizmo you have today. Ready? This is what it is. When we get Jesus right, when we know who Jesus is, when we get Jesus right, every part of our life will be made right. Okay? When you understand who Jesus is, then God can bring you to a place of peace, a place of joy, a place of freedom. He can take you out of any addiction, any sin, but first you have to get Jesus right. Ready? Now, so I came up with three, and I'm looking at my time, we're doing great today. So I came up with three facts that you need to know on who Jesus is. Three, I think they're really important, all righty? Now, the majority of you, especially if I had you in children's ministry, raise your hand. Did I have you in children's ministry? Yeah, bunch of you. All right, you know this, okay? I know you know this, but wait a minute. I just read those statistics, right? Right? So let me tell you a story. Probably about 10 years ago, I was leading a small group, and we did this book. I know I was supposed to give it to them so they can put it on the board so you can see this, but I'll just go like this about five times. No, okay. It's by Beth Jones, and she wrote a book called Seven Basic Roots for Every Christian. And then the small group, it was a ladies' group, and I had about seven ladies. And this one lady, she was born in church. She was raised in church. She had a bunch of kids. They were born in church and raised in church. This lady, and she was about 40 then, and we got to chapter 3 of Seven Basic Roots That Every Christian Needs to Know. And she came in. She came running in the door. She goes, "Oh, my gosh, I did not know that." And I'm like, oh, evangelical Christians, all right? So, guys, some of you are going to go, oh, Pastor Dan, I know that. No, 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 come on. Do we know this? Do we really understand this? So that is why we need to know who Jesus is. Ready? So, and by the way, you can't force Jesus on people, all right? Okay, so if you're a guest here, I can't force you to know Jesus. But let me tell you, you can pray that prayer. God, if this Jesus is real, open up my eyes that I might see him. Okay? But again, P.S., bottom note, you can't force him. All right. Three things you need to know about Jesus. Number one, everybody smile, real easy. Three things. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. He wasn't created. He is God. Everybody say, Jesus is God. All right? So Jesus is God, so he is as much God as the Father. He is as much God as the Holy Spirit. Jesus is God, all right? Now, I'm going to give you a scripture, and y'all should know this inside out. So if you're a Christian, you need to know this. Open up to Matthew 18. Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Okay, I'm on the wrong page. Here we go. Matthew 28, verse 19. This is a scripture so you can see, as a Christian, what we believe, all right? Here we go, Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So Christians believe there's one God, but he is revealed in three persons, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I know some of you know this, but did you hear the statistics, right? All right, now, I don't fully get it, but God has opened my eyes, and I believe Jesus is God, and I believe in God the Father, and there's the Son and the Holy Spirit. I believe that, all right? And this is really important. This is the foundation. This is the cornerstone. Now, I have to tell you, when I accepted Jesus way, way long time ago, okay, I didn't get all the details, but God opened my eyes, and I saw that Jesus was God. Jesus was the Christ, okay? And I know many of you know this, but listen, it is time to really understand this so your roots get deep, all right? And maybe if your faith is deconstructed, I hope you have ears and eyes to hear and see this, all righty? Now, how many of you have a Bible? How many of you have about 25 Bibles at home? Good. Okay, put them all over your house, put them in the bathroom, put them in that thing, okay? But when you read your Bible, and if you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they tell the story of Jesus' birth from a natural, like he was born over here, and then the wise men came over here. Okay, they write from a natural, an earthly perspective, okay? But the Gospel of John talks about Jesus' birth from like a heavenly perspective. So open up to John chapter 1, verse 14. This is our key scripture, so just keep your finger in there. We're going to go back and forth to that. Ready? John chapter 1, verse 14. and the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, the glory of the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace. So here's what you need to know. John said the Word, and when he said the Word, he's talking about Jesus. So we read it this way. Jesus became flesh. So better yet, Jesus was born into a human body. Jesus became. Because listen, what were the statistics? There's some offshoots that don't believe this, so you need to know what you believe, all right? So notice, He is the only Son, and there's the Father. So God, and so we have God, one God, three personalities, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. So every time you read where it says, the Word, that's Jesus, the Word was made flesh, and the Word dwelt among us. And we're going to tear those last two apart in a few minutes, okay? But go up to John chapter 1, up to the top, verse 1, John 1:1. Go up to John 1:1. Listen to this. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. Who? Right. In the beginning was Jesus. So in the beginning, when time was created, the universe had this big clock, and when in the beginning, the clock started, okay? So that's how I used to tell kids when I do this scripture. So the Word, Jesus, always existed. He wasn't created. He's always existed. Matter of fact, he just said he's the creator. All right, let's keep reading. Okay, the Word was with God, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and the Word was God, God the Father, Holy Spirit. All righty? So the Word Jesus was as much God the Father as God and as much as the Holy Spirit. All right? Verse 2, He was in the beginning with God. Jesus was in the beginning with God, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. Verse 3, all things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. So guys, this is amazing. Jesus is God. He wasn't created. He is God. He's not a lesser God. Jesus is God. All righty? Now, every time you read your Gospels now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, every time you read it, everything that Jesus said, guess what? Would be the same as what God the Father said, right? And every time Jesus dealt with people and had interactions and helped people would be the same as God the Father and God the Holy Spirit because Jesus is God. Now, listen to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Jump down to John chapter 14. There's this guy, Philip, he's one of the disciples, and one day he's like, Jesus, show us the Father. And that really just upset Jesus. He's like, Have I been with you so long, boy, that you don't know me and you don't know the Father? Okay? You know, Jesus just sometimes just gives you a little slap on the whatever, okay? Here we are. John chapter 14, verse 9. Jesus replied, Don't you even yet know who I am, Philip? Even after all this time I've been with you, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me this? Oh, man. So Jesus is saying, hey, Philip, I am as much God as God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Now, at that time, they didn't understand the Holy Spirit. Sooner, they're going to catch up to that. So he's saying, hey, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And everything that I do is what the Father does, okay? Because we're one. We're three persons, but we're one, all right? So if you've witnessed me with the way I taught, if you've witnessed how I interacted with people, it's the same as my Father. Fill up, all right? All right, so I just want to encourage you the next time you're reading through the Gospels, which are really fun to read through, okay? What you see Jesus did is the same as what that God does. It's the same as the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right. So, what do we need to know about Jesus? What do we have to understand? Number one, Jesus is God. He wasn't created. He's always existed. He's the creator, right? Okay. Number two, if you're taking notes. Okay, so we're talking about who is Jesus, because we don't want to be that statistic over there, ready? Here's number two. Jesus, God's Son, entered a human body. Jesus, God's Son, entered a human body. All right. So back to John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh. Jesus became flesh. Jesus entered into a human body. Okay. I like sci-fi movies. Don't judge me. All right? I know they're not real, but I like sci-fi movies, okay? And not the real crazy rip-out-your-heart thingies and stuff like that. But, you know, sci-fi movies, they've got shape-shifters and body snatchers, right? So, have you ever watched a sci-fi movie? Yeah, okay. Anyway, so it's really about someone taking over someone's body, right? You with me? And I got thinking about this, and I thought, you know, Jesus could have done it nice. He could have come and tapped a guy on the shoulder, some adult, and said, hey, I need your body. You can go on to heaven. I'm going to come inside of you, adult. But he didn't do that, did he? No. Okay. He came in the flesh, right? Some of you are just still like, sci-fi? Yeah. So he came in the flesh, and he decided he was going to be born as a baby. Right? Now think about this. We just read, Jesus always existed. He's the creator of the universe. He's the creator. Jesus, the creator, decided, I'm going to come in the flesh to a baby, in a baby. I'm going to come as a baby, all right? I'm going to be born as a baby, and I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to make myself really vulnerable. Like, my mom's going to have to feed me, and someone's going to have to change my diapers. All right, that's vulnerable. Just think, the creator of the universe had to have someone change his diapers. What do you think about at night? Really? Okay, so, but listen, he was God in a human body, right? And also, he had to submit. The creator of the universe had to submit to his parents, Mary and his stepdad. I bet you that was tough. How many of you knew that was tough when you were just, and you're not even the creator, right? Okay, so listen, and he felt everything you and I felt. It's in the Bible, okay? And he was tempted, if you were here last week, he was tempted every way that we were, okay? Because he came in the flesh. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. It's sort of a half-made-up story from an article I read. I'm changing the names. There's nobody here. It's not about the state. And it's really sad ending. Okay, and you know, that's that shock and awe. But the reason why I'm doing this is so I want you to remember when we get to the ending, okay? Here's my story. So there's this lady, her name is Mabel, because I know we don't have Mabels here. There's this lady, she's name is Mabel, she's 27 years old, and she's a bartender, and she's working the Saturday night, and she gets off work around 2:00 in the morning, and it's summertime, and it's one of those cool summer nights where the wind, you know, everybody's got their windows open. So she's walking into her apartment complex, and some guy jumps out, okay, but just smile, starts stabbing her, and she's screaming, help, 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 starts stabbing her, and all the lights go on, because it's summertime, your windows are open, people are turning on their lights, and they're looking out the window, and they're watching this, and she's screaming, and the lights are going on, and the guy who's stabbing her, he goes, oh my gosh, they're seeing me, so he runs away, he runs down the road a little bit, around the corner, really, but nobody comes down to help her. Nobody called the police. Nobody even said, hey, are you all right? Okay, so he decides, I'm going to come back and finish what I started. So he's stabbing her and she dies. Okay, makeup story. Y'all should have been in children's ministry. We were terrific down there, but okay. I didn't do that one in children's ministry. I'm so sorry. This is the adult version, okay. Okay, so anyway, so the big question is, why didn't anybody come down and help her? Like, why didn't they saw light? There were 30 people in that apartment. Like, turn out their lights, hanging out the window, and they're watching this, okay? Okay? So why didn't they come down to help? Okay, here's why. And it's actually studied by psychologists. Ready? In order to come down to help, you have to make yourself vulnerable and killable. Because I could get killed. I'm not good at a knife fight. I might lose, okay? So nobody came down to help because of fear, and they could die if they came down to help. All right, so why do I tell you this lovely story? Ready? Jesus was looking out of the windows of heaven. I'm going to lose it. Gosh, I love this. And he saw all of humanity. He saw you, and he saw me. And he saw us being beaten up by Satan, right? beaten, oppressed, depressed, just in bondage, okay? We don't even know why we're here on earth. We're just wandering and hitting the walls, okay? No joy, no peace. And Jesus looked out of the windows of heaven. And I don't know about you, but I am so glad that he would leave heaven and come into flesh and die for us. Amen? Gosh, okay. One scholar, I copied this out of a book, okay, but I can't remember because I have all these post-it notes. Ready? Listen. One scholar says it this way: Jesus coming into a human body made himself killable, not just vulnerable and killable. All right. So we know Jesus inside and God inside and the Holy Spirit. You can't kill that, okay? But Jesus in the, who came in flesh and blood, he could die. He could feel our pain. And he says, listen, I love y'all so much that I would leave heaven and come to earth. That I would come into flesh as a baby, okay? And I would be vulnerable and I would be killable and I would die for you. That's how much Jesus loved us, all right? And that is amazing. That is the amazing part about the fact that you need to know that Jesus came in a human body. Amen? I'm going to read you a quote. I forgot to give it to the guys, so I'm just going to read it, okay? This is from St. Augustine. Tore it out of my book. Here we go. Listen to what he wrote. Man's maker, right, was made man that he ruled. Ruler of the stars that he held at his mother's chest. And he had the bread that might hunger and the thirst and the fountain of thirst, the light sleep, the way he tired on his journey, the truth that might be falsely accused, the teacher to be beaten and to whipped, the foundations to be suspended on the wood of the cross, that strength might grow weak, that the healer might be wounded, that life might die. Guys, Jesus loved us so much that he would die on a cross. But he came in flesh, all right? So, number one fact, Jesus is God, right? He wasn't created, he always existed, all right? And number two, he came from heaven in a human body, and he made himself vulnerable, and he would die for us. Third one, ready? Last, third one, number one, fact you need to know. Okay, because Jesus isn't here, wink, wink, but he really is here. Right? So write this down. Here we go. Number three, Jesus was God in our midst, and God is still in our midst via the Holy Spirit. All right, okay. Back to John chapter 1, verse 14. John 1, 14. Ready? I got to find it. Turn around. 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So God came down from heaven in the body of Jesus in the flesh, and he hung out with us. And you read that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all right? And the next part, and we saw his glory, the glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. How cool would it have been to watch God in the flesh back then? Like God just doing things on the planet. How cool it would have been, all right? Like to witness the God in Jesus in the flesh on the thing. And you know, I used to think, oh, when I was a young Christian, I wish I was there. I'd be on the front row. Forget about you guys on the back row. I'm on the front row. But listen, you know what I found out? Listen to this. We are better off where we are now. Right? Because God is still with us. God is still with us, okay? Now, let me give you a scripture for that. John chapter 16. John 16, verse 5 and 6. Ready? John 16, verse 5 and 6. This is Jesus talking, red letter in your Bible. But now I, Jesus, ready? Go away to him, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, who sent me, and none of you have asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, your sorrow has filled your heart. AKA, they are so bummed out and sad. They are like, because Jesus just said, hey, I'm going to go die, and I'm going back to my Father, and I'm going to heaven. So yeah, they're bummed out, and they're sad, and Jesus is trying to help them for their next part, and he's still trying to help us. So listen to verse 7. Listen to this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. In other words, he's saying, hey, guys, it is better that I go away. All right? Now, it's not just so we can have our sins forgiven. Because that's what happens. That's what Jesus did, and that's what is about to happen. But the emphasis is not on that. Listen to this again. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, and I'm going to add this in, John 14:26, the Holy Spirit, okay, will not come. But if I go, right, if I depart, I will send him to you. And guess what? He is here. Praise God. So Jesus is saying, hey, yep, it was really cool to have God dwell on the earth, to see his glory on the earth, all right? But listen, guys, we are better off now than when the disciples, all righty? So think back. Here's Jesus on the earth. Jesus could only be at one place at one time. Why? Because he came in a human body. Okay, yes, he's omnipresent, but I'm talking about the manifest presence of God. Jesus could only be at one place at one time. So let's say this bunch of disciples over here, y'all disciples, in this first row, the three of you guys, come on, we're going over here. Okay, I'm going with those three. We're going over here. We're going out to eat spaghetti. Okay, the rest of y'all, the rest of the nine, you didn't have Jesus with you because Jesus could only be at one place at one time. So I'm preaching to this crowd here, but the rest of y'all, you weren't there. So you didn't have the presence of God there because Jesus could be in one place at one time because he came in human flesh, right? So, but then the Holy Spirit. Everybody say Holy Spirit. Okay, the Holy Spirit. So now God the Holy Spirit, who's as much God the Father, and as much Jesus, God the Holy Spirit, is now here. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, ask him to come into your life. God the Holy Spirit has now come inside of you. And let me tell you, that is better than having God, Jesus, one place, one time. He's with you always. The Spirit of God comes in you always. Okay, let me give you your last scripture, and I'll tweak this up here already. 1 Corinthians, last scripture, 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you and me, if you've received Jesus, are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Okay? Do you not know that you are the temple of God? Okay, this is referring to a holy house. This is like a reference to a sanctuary. So remember Moses built a tabernacle? Presence of God, right? Remember Solomon built the temple? The presence of God. You remember the Holy of Holies? The presence of God. Remember the Ark of the Covenants? The presence of God, okay? But listen, that was just in those places. But if you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, yeah, I still mess up. Yeah, you still mess up. But guess what? He has come inside, and you are now as holy as the Holy of Holies. He has made you holy. That is who is inside of you. And listen, you go out here today, he's with you. You go over there tomorrow, he's with you. So God the Holy Spirit is with you. And here's my ad. Go to our bookstore. We have mini books, big books, and I could tell more about the Holy Spirit, but this amazing Holy Spirit is with you always. And yeah, it would have been cool to walk around with Jesus, but he left and he said, I'm going to give you something that will be with you always, the Holy Spirit. So we've been talking about reconstructing Jesus, right? And the main idea, when we get Jesus right, then every part of our life will be made right, right? So who is Jesus? He is God, right? He is God, and he's as much God as the Father and the Holy Spirit. He always existed, okay? He came in a human body, praise God. He made himself killable, and he died for our sins, okay? And then he left, and he gave us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes when you ask Jesus into your life. He comes and he resides in you, and he is called the Helper, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Standby, and there's two more, but I forgot right now. So that is why you're going to go to the bookstore and say, hey, are those mini books free? And I'll say, yeah, big books aren't. They're only half price. All right, so go get them, all righty? So how about we just thank the Lord? Thank you, Father, for who Jesus is. Father, thank you who Jesus is. I thank you for just reminding us who you are, Jesus. I thank you, and I know many of you know this, but like, whoa, this is who my Jesus is. And some of you, I'm hoping if you didn't see it, that you would pray that prayer. God, if Jesus is real, I want to know. I want to understand who he is, all right? Because if we get Jesus right, everything in our life becomes right, all righty? So would you bow your heads, and I want to pray for you. Close your eyes, bow your heads. Some of you wake up. No, I'm only kidding. All right. So, praise the Lord. Pastor D, be nice. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you. We thank you for who Jesus is. We thank you for what Jesus has done, and we thank you for what Jesus is doing in all of us now. And this is our heart prayer. Lord, make Jesus more and more real to us. Open our eyes to see more and more how real the Holy Spirit is, and that he's with us, and that he's our helper. And if you're here and you'd say, you know, Pastor D, I'm just not sure. Well, right now, would you just whisper that prayer? God, if Jesus is real, I want to know. I want to understand. Open my eyes. Amen. And some of you, my goodness, some of us know people who have deconstructed their faith. Would you pray for them? Would you pray that prayer? God, open their eyes, right? Just open their eyes that they might see. All right. So I have a question for everybody. Do you believe? And some of you might say, oh, now I believe. But do you remember a day and a time where you said, I believe in Jesus, would you come into my life? And if that's you, today's a good day, right? But today's a good day. And some of you, you would say, yeah, but Pastor D, I'm a member at another church. Or Pastor D, I attend church. Well, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. You have to believe that I am as much God as the Father and the Holy Spirit, and call on my name. So if that's you today, and you're like, Pastor D, I believe. Would you pray for me? Yes, baby, I'm going to pray for you. All right? So I'm not going to ask you to come up front. And if you want to raise your hand, yay. But I want you to pray this prayer from your heart. And there's so many of you. Like, I know so many of you, and you've already prayed that prayer. But we're going to pray this together. And I will tell you, and I'll give you more scripture later, that if you pray this prayer from your heart, everything changes on the inside. Amen. So everybody say this out loud. Father, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize I'm far from you. And I need a Savior. And I repent of my sins. And I accept Jesus to come into my life. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of the living God. You existed always. And you died for mankind. And you were raised from the dead. And you are the only way to the Father. So right now, I accept you as my Savior. And I will follow you all the days of my life. Amen. Amen. Okay, eyeballs open. If you prayed that prayer, man, heaven's having a party. If one person asks Jesus into your life, you are that important. You are that so loved that they're just celebrating. So we are celebrating with you. Hallelujah. I have a Bible for you, or we have Bibles up front. And Miss Stacy, you want to get that mark and give directions? Oh, come on up here. Okay. So but we have Bibles up front. I'll see you over here. But there's going to be a lot of commotion, good stuff. And you want to tell everybody what they need to do, where they need to go? Yeah, we do this all the time with a smile.
Yes, so right now we're going to get ready for the pranzo, which is Italian lunch. So everybody's welcome to stay. What we're going to do is if you would like to give a $5 minimum donation, you're going to do that in the bookstore. So if you need to take care of that, if you can't stay and you still want to donate, hey, that's great too. And then from there on out,